everybody. We're here at the Ascend Amphitheater in Nashville, Tennessee with Widespread Panic, who are doing three nights here in this outdoor venue. It's a cool place. And even cooler than that is the fact that I get to talk to Jimmy Herring. Jimmy, how are you, man?
It's good to see you. I'm great, man. It's good to see you.
I'm very happy to be here with you.
Thank you so much.
Man, you know the drill. You've seen some rig rundowns. So we're just going to jump in, man. Tell us about this beautiful PRS you have in your hands here.
Well, thank you, man. This is a guitar that I've had probably, I'm guessing, around 20 years and maybe longer. Paul gave me this 3P90. I guess it wasn't a standard 22. I can't remember what the model was called, but I loved it so much, and it had a neck on it. They call it a soap bar carve or soap bar. It only came with that guitar with the P90s in it, which is also known as a soap bar, you know, pickup.
Yep.
Anyway, so I got him to make this guitar with that same neck shape, and this was many years ago. I mean, it was 2000 when I was, it was probably 18 or 20 years ago. And and the only other thing that's different about it, other than the neck carve, is I like to have a separate volume for each pickup, and then a master tone, unless you're going to have two tones, which is also great, very Gibson-like, you know.
Yes.
But this one is just a volume for the neck, volume for the bridge, and then tone control, master tone.
And does it have stock pickups?
Well, I've gone back and forth. I like the Lahler Imperials a lot. That's what's in here right now.
Okay. Yeah,
they've been in there actually for a long time. But I played it for many years with the stock pickups, and they sound great too. It's just a matter of, you need to change every now and then.
Yep.
You know?
And jumbo frets?
Yeah. These are I imagine 6,000. Wired. These guitars are 25 inch scale. I don't need them so much with these guitars as I do with a 25 and a half inch guitar, like a Stratocaster or a Telecaster. They have longer necks, and the big frets really help me a lot with them. And actually, they help me with this one too. But this being a half inch shorter, you can get away with smaller frets if you need to. For what I'm trying to do, what I like to do is not have the action too low, and then the guitar speaks better, and the big frets help you to be able to raise the action up and still be able to play the guitar.
Yeah, and so you get more clarity and articulation.
Yeah, the notes jump out better, and you get better string-to-string definition, and it's easier to bend and things like that.
Well, speaking of strings, what kind of strings do you use, and what gauge is on there now?
They're just a normal tin set from D'Addario.
Okay.
The nickel strings, we use the nickel ones.
Cool. Anything else different about that? And, you know, any modifications in the capacitors or anything, or pretty much all?
Well, Joel did do some stuff to the bridge. Where'd he go? Thought maybe he could tell you about it. It's the bridge, you know, after you use the twang bar for a while, and years, like I said, this guitar is close to 20 years old.
Yeah.
It started getting, you know, needing some love on the edges.
Yep.
And so he did that. He's great. He works great with metal. He works great with wood. So we could have gotten a new bridge from Paul, but instead of bothering him, Joel just took it.
He just fabricated one.
Yeah. He just took the same bridge, and he just smoothed out the edges
around
where they, you know, where the pivot is.
Okay.
And as a result, this guitar stays in tune fairly well.
Excellent.
You know, and there's nothing. What did you do to the bridge? When you smoothed out the edges of it somehow?
Well, they're countersunk under these screws, and I just basically made the knife edge more knife edgy.
Okay. That way it so it's
less friction.
Less binding and stuff, yeah.
And this is your main guitar in general or on this tour?
Typically with Panic, this is my main guitar.
Okay.
You know, if I need a humbucker guitar, which is most of this gig, This is the one I typically use.
Okay.
I've had it so long, and it feels like home, you know?
Well, let's take a look at what else you have in the rack, if we can.
Okay.
I know you've got another PRS in there, and you've got a Strat in there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a DGT that Paul was gracious enough to build. This beautiful instrument. We use this mainly for the drop D songs.
Okay.
But sometimes if there's no drop D songs in the set list, we'll just set it up, you know, to play with standard tuning. And it's a great instrument. And it's also got, what I like about the Grissoms, they have a separate volume for each pickup and a master tone. And they also have bigger fret wire than your standard issue Paul Reed Smith. These are stock, but they're a little bit smaller than what I would typically use, but they still feel great.
Cool.
I mean, Grissom uses, he tunes down a half step, and he likes the bigger wire because he uses bigger strings tuned down a half step.
Yep.
And so he likes that bigger wire too. Most people think you're nuts when you tell them, you know, you use 6,000 wire until they pick it up and feel it. And then they're like, oh my God, this thing feels great. Well, you know.
Yeah, the bending is especially cool with
that.
Yeah. Lawler pickups in that one too?
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Lawler Imperials. Cool. in this guitar.
Cool.
Joel keeps these things in tune pretty good. He knows how to set up the... I like to use four springs because where I really did a number on myself trying to use three and trying to learn about how to use a twang bar, and I didn't realize I, you know, bending the whole time just like I did before I used the twang bar.
Uh-huh.
And it did a number on my arm. You know, tendonitis.
Yep.
That good old tendonitis.
And then we've got a cool Strat.
Yeah, this is a... Joel just put this one together for me. This is a great instrument, man. It's sort of like a 50s style. Four springs. I can't do what Jeff Beck does, so I try to, you know, meet in the middle instead of using three.
How does he do that stuff?
I just saw him the other day, maybe just a couple of weeks ago, and I'm absolutely floored.
Yeah, we saw him 2 weeks ago in Nashville.
Yeah.
And he opened up and improvised for like a half hour straight.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He is great. He is very special. You know, we all know this. Yeah. But feel how light that is.
Yeah. That is super light.
It's super light.
Yeah, it's very comfortable.
We've learned about the light ash bodies tend to resonate better, and it took me forever to learn that. I found great, you know Greg Kalk?
I do, yeah.
You know Greg?
Yep.
Great guitar player, does a lot of stuff for Wildwood Guitars.
Yep.
He asked me one day, have you ever played an ash maple Strat? And I was like, no. I mean, all my Strats were alder, you know, and had rosewood fingerboards on them. He's like, maybe you should try one, because I was at Wildwood and I was going through a bunch of Strats, and I found this one, and I don't have it with me, but it's a blonde ash maple Strat.
Now this is one that
blew my mind.
This is one that Joel put together for you.
Yeah.
Do you know what essentially it's, you know, its DNA is all together? You know what the parts
are? Yeah, it's an MJT body with the nitrocellulose finish. It's a who makes the neck? USA Custom Guitars makes the neck.
Cool.
And you know.
And do you have Lawlers in there too, or?
No, these are Don Mayer pickups.
Okay.
These are Don Mayer out of California. And the bridge is a Callahan that allows the string spacing to be more like a modern Strat.
Uh-huh.
But it's on a six screw. You know, it just makes the string spacing a little closer, which I find the vintage string spacing is difficult for me to pick. Unless you only play that. And then when you switch to another guitar, you're like, you know, because it's so different. But this one feels like, you know, the closer string spacing, but it's still a six screw. And it's got the Callahan, you know, block in it, you know, so it's really good quality. You know.
Cool. Anything different about the rest of it, about the switching configuration or anything? Or is it pretty much
Well, it's got the middle tone control is wired to the, normally that would just be the neck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got it wired where it's both of these.
Okay.
And then this is only the bridge.
Okay.
Tone control. I mean, cool. I tried going with no tone control on the middle pickup, but it was too strident.
Uh-huh.
You know?
A little barky.
Yeah, so I asked Joel if he could just put that jumper wire in that makes the middle tone control work for both of these. And I like it a lot.
Cool.
It's really great.
Cool. Well, shall we go take a look at your rig over there?
Okay.
So here we are in your part of the territory. You delineated here with the rug. This is your space.
Yeah,
and
my
then
cave.
Let's,
okay, I never
exactly.
leave this area.
So let's talk about what you have here. There's a really interesting setup on the floor for controlling your monitors, but let's really focus on the amplifiers.
Okay.
And let's talk about that Homestead,
how
you got it, what you think about it, you know, where you like to have things set, the whole deal.
Okay.
Start there.
Okay. Peter McMahon from Homestead Amps built this amplifier. This is a 100-watt version, but it's really probably more than 100 watts, right, Pete? Because it's got it's got four 6550s in it.
Yeah, you know? Peter's right over here.
He's right there.
That's
why
we're talking to him. We're not just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I never used 6550s in a guitar amp before Peter showed me this amp, and I really didn't know what to expect. I thought, you know, you hear the the general talk on it is that they're stiff or they're strident or mm-hmm. you know, or hard sounding, and I haven't found that to be the case with this amp. It sounds really warm to me. It sounds really good.
Yeah, you played it just a minute ago, and it sounded super warm. Will you give us a taste of that thing?
Yeah.
Cool.
This is dry. You wanted to hear it dry, right?
Yeah, let's hear it dry. And then let's...
Well, just... You know.
Since you gave a taste of us dry, why don't you give us something with effects too?
All right. Well, the only effect I use is reverb. But
reverb's nice.
Reverb,
it's a good
comes
one.
Through this.
Oh, cool.
The idea is this line out box goes between the amp and this dry cabinet here.
Okay.
And so it basically you just take the speaker out and go into this, and then it's got a speaker through that goes to this cabinet. Then this is actually a line out signal that goes into this volume pedal right here.
Okay.
That volume pedal goes to this Eventide space unit, and then that's a stereo unit that goes to stereo into this power amp, which goes to this cabinet in stereo. And these two speakers are one side, these two speakers are the other side.
Cool.
And it's purely wet coming through this side here. So, you know, the idea is, you know, it's really dry, you know. You know, and you can bring in wet through this side, you know. So if you want a lot, you know. See, the wet's coming from the other side.
Cool.
I manipulate it sometimes, you know, and have a little bit or a lot, or sometimes none, mm-hmm. depending on what you want.
And you use the volume pedals to basically balance the two speaker cabinets and units?
Yeah, yeah. And then this volume pedal here is just straight from my guitar into the volume pedal.
Okay.
And then that volume pedal's, so my guitar goes here, and then that goes to the Hughes and Kettner tube factor. And that's really the only pedal I use. Other than the volume pedal. And this is just a remote switch for the Hughes and Kettner, you know. You can hear it get hissy. And then on this side, just wetness. But, I mean, you know, you can hear... With this on, you know... The idea is to, you know, have more sustained stuff with the overdrive box.
Yeah, and it's an incredibly rich sound, too.
Thank you.
Both of them are.
Thank you.
Really amazing.
Oh, man, thanks. The speakers in this cabinet are tone tubby ceramic speakers.
Okay.
You know, 40 watt, 40, they call them 40 for 40 or 40 40s or whatever.
Okay.
And I've had them for decades. John Harrison was a good friend of mine, and I got... And this old Sound City cabinet, I just put them in there, you know, because I like these old cabinets. And that has EV forces in it.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're wired in stereo through the arm.
Cool.
We found some EV forces. I like the EVs a lot.
And right behind you, you've got a bass monitor, right? That's what the Ampeg is?
Yeah, this is, I can just control how loud Dave is.
Cool.
From this, I mean, not how loud he is. Some people misunderstand. This only affects what I hear,
yes.
Not what they hear.
You can't turn Dave down from over here.
No, no. only from this position, what I hear. I've gotten kind of nasty messages from people about me controlling the other band members' mixes, which of course it's only from my ears, and
yes.
That's what that's all about.
Yes.
But yeah, so I can turn Dave up or down. I can EQ it if I need to, but I never do. I just leave it like Joel sets it and just turn it up or down.
Cool. Know. And while we're talking about that, obviously here, here is where you do control all the other band members' mixes, at least just for yourself.
Right.
You've got a pedal board down here with volume pedals, and basically you've got everybody's signal going in here.
Yeah, what this was all about was is just being able to, I'm not very good at trying to convey, you know, what I need to the monitor engineer
mm-hmm.
when I'm trying to play. and I'm not a singer, so it, you know, I think the singer's need is undivided attention, you know. And even though he's like, man, we don't have to do this, I'll do what you need, and he would, because he's one of the best in the business. But this just makes my life simpler. Like, if I need drums, I step on this Vine pedal, a little bit more, a little bit less, whatever I need, percussion, keyboards, and the B3 has its own wedge because it's such a rich, you know, thing, it needs its own wedge, you know, so it, you know.
Yes.
So it's clear, you know. Of course, yep. I am pretty close to him, but.
You are pretty
if
close.
If I need him, you know, I'll just do that,
yep.
You know. And then this is JB's voice, you know, vocal. This is his guitar. So I can have more or less of his guitar or vocal. And the keyboards are the clavinet, the piano, and the Wurlitzer.
And how long have you had this rig? Which is a great idea.
Well, it started in 2000 when I was playing with the Dead. And, you know, finding myself for the first time sort of on some of these big stages.
Uh-huh.
And being completely out of my element and completely uncomfortable with how disconnected I felt on the giant stage from the rest of the group. And so I was talking to Dennis Leonard, the sound engineer. We call him Wiz because he's a wizard, you know. But Wiz, I was talking to him and I was like, man, you think you could rig up something where I could control my own mix from volume pedals? Because that way I wouldn't have to stop and turn a knob like you do in a studio where you have that thing sitting on a tripod.
Yeah, the monitor, a control.
You know,
yeah.
Your headphone amp or whatever yeah. you call it. But, you know, and he went, huh, well, yeah, we could do that. Never done that before. And I was like, well, I mean, it would just make my life easier because, you know, I'd be able to not have to, you know, get your attention to do whatever I need, which I'm no good at conveying that if I'm in the music. I have to stop playing to clearly say.
Yeah, you want to keep your head in the right
space.
Yeah.
And this keeps me from having to think about anything, you know? And I'm used to stepping on a volume pedal. I've been standing on one for most of my life, so, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Hey, man. Yeah.
Truly appreciate it.
Absolutely. my pleasure. Great to meet you, too.
And here we are with JB on stage at the Ascend Amphitheater. And JB is going to tell us about his guitars, his pedals, his amps, the whole deal. And this is your main guitar right now, right? That you've been playing on this tour?
This is what I've been using on stage. Yeah, this one's probably, Joel, this is 5 years old I've had it, something like that.
You've had it ever since I've been working for it, and that's been 8 years.
Okay then, 8 years.
All right, and it's a Washburn HB35. I can see a wooden block in there, so it's a semi-hollow body.
One of the important things is the color.
Yeah, the color is sweet.
We were going for the color.
The color is sweet, and so is the binding, you know, in the F-holes and along the body. Is this a custom model, or is this a...
Yeah, slightly. Basically, as far as the color went, it was
okay.
It was custom.
Okay.
But I've been playing this model since 90. Since 90.
Okay.
I know those hooked up with Washburn.
Washburn humbuckers.
Yep. Sure.
Okay. Anything about the wiring we should know, or is it just pretty much
traditional wiring? Yep.
Okay. Cool. And it is a sweet looking guitar.
Use some little fatter strings.
Are those kind of medium jumbo frets?
These are
too?
13. The most important thing for me is getting the wound G.
Okay.
Because it stays in tune better and it kind of sounds a little better if you're playing slide or something.
Cool.
Like
and
that.
Did you say those are 13s?
I believe 13 on the high E.
12.
12 on the high E.
All right, 12 sets. Cool. Cool.
My lawyer's off stage.
It's always good to have a lawyer off stage. I think Hunter Thompson said that. Cool. Well, let's take a, shall we take a look at the other guitar? The
okay.
The black one. Any major differences between the two other than red and black?
Red and black's a pretty big difference.
All right, well, you've got different pickups in there too. You've got Seymour Duncans.
Yep, and it's lighter.
All
right. Got the action a little bit higher because with alternative tunings.
Okay.
It just benefits from the higher. Higher action on slide.
Do you use that? Yeah, so you use that one for slide.
Yep.
And do you tend to play slide in open G?
A lot of it. Do okay. A little open D.
Okay.
A lot of it's natural or drop D.
Okay.
You know, and that's and then we do some Vic Chestnut songs where he'd play the strings tuned down a whole step.
Okay.
So that gives a little extra flap too, you know, and get to wiggle and move around
good. And those are also 12s?
Yep.
What kind of Dunkins do you have in there?
What kind of Dunkins we got in here?
So the red one has pearly
gates.
This
is Joel, everybody. We're doing a no legal consultation here.
The red one has pearly gates, and I think this is an Alnico 2 Pro, and this is a custom.
Very cool.
That was on the tip of my tongue.
Now, do you tend to be a neck pickup guy primarily? Are you regularly switching between combinations?
Usually I'm right in the middle. I'm using them both.
Okay.
And then blending, depending on what I'm hearing in my ears.
Okay. And what about your slide? You mentioned you use that guitar for slide. What kind of slide do you play?
Brass slide on the pinky.
Okay, cool. Brass pinky slide.
These guys, I like them. I like them weathered because they tend to grip the string a little bit more. And
do you pre-weather them before you play? I mean, a lot of people will leave them outside in the window and stuff.
Yeah, we do when we have to.
Yeah.
I tend to like lose them.
Yeah. I get that.
But if they're too glossy, then they kind of sound a little thin to me.
Well, now when you do play slide, is there a pedal or something that you use to kind of bring out the core tone you're going for? Or I'm just going to chase this slide thing down for a minute with you.
Okay, my pedals are real minimum.
Okay.
I keep a tube screamer on all the time.
Okay.
Just to fatten up the sound and give it a little interaction, a little more feedback, tamed feedback, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just using it in a supportive role, then I usually just stay there. If inspiration hits and I'm gonna take it somewhere or let it take me somewhere, then I've got another distortion pedal that I put on top of that.
You've got the full tone OCD over there?
Right.
Cool.
And I just got that because I like the name, but it sounds good too.
It does. Now you got a switcher over there that's marked Electric and Chet. Is one of these amps named Chet?
No, it's left over from a solid body acoustic, the Chet Atkins that I had. So that pedal's left over from days gone by.
Okay, I wonder if you had a name for one of your amplifiers. Great, and you've got obviously a tuner over there, and you've got the wah, and the wah does something special, doesn't it?
That's got a hip feature that we discovered because I do the Roland Jazz Chorus, and the wah and the chorus together is, you know, a little wonky.
Yeah.
So my attorney Joel here, he wired it up so when I cut on the wah, it turns off the chorus.
The chorus.
Yeah. Cool. So there's a little dual conversation going there.
Well, and let's look at your amps. And do you run them both at the same time, or do you switch between? Or
run them
both?
Run them at the same time.
Cool.
And okay. I'm getting, I get mostly this in my headphones, but this is, and I love the Jazz Chorus. I had one when I first started out, and then 25 years later, I came back to it. And, but I keep the, I like a fat tube sound to come along with it. And
so you've got this.
It gives them something to work with.
You have this like really nice articulation coming out of the chorus, and then you've got that fat, nice big mid-range and stuff coming out of the Fuchs through the Mesa can.
Yep.
Cool.
And the Fuchs is, it's a really tight little unit.
Yeah, it's cool. It's that's a very compact 100-watt head, and I know they make great heads, and the voicing is super articulate in those amps too. What kind of speakers are in the Mesa can?
412s. What kind of speakers we got in there, Joel?
Stock. It's like a 90s Mesa cabinet.
Is it closed back? Let's see.
Cool. It's probably closed, right?
Yeah, closed back.
Yep. Cool.
So.
Well, great. Great. And on top, you've got a radial switcher up there, too, as well. Now, what is the radial switcher?
If you say so.
Do we need an attorney again? Just to talk about the radial for a minute, the tone bone.
So this is from the pedal board here.
Okay.
And so it just splits the amps. So I'm just using it as a splitter.
Very basic
splitter. It's nice
splitter.
Because it's got a ground lift and stuff on it. So you can, if you have problems with hum and stuff, you can do stuff to it. So
cool.
Make the ground, hum go away.
And then, let's just talk about the longevity of the band for a second, too. You guys have been together, is it 32 years now?
Yep.
Cool. I know you just put out this live recording for one of your shows, Knoxville 95, I think is the latest thing you guys put out.
Okay.
sounds like a great show. But you've been doing these archival releases, and to me, you guys have created such an amazing legacy. You know, you started as a band, friends in college, and you just kept playing and playing and playing, and people fell in love with what you do. You fell in love with your audiences, and here you are, 32 years later. That's amazing.
It, one day at a time kind of thing.
Yeah. Yep. Well, congratulations.
All right.
It's tremendous.
Appreciate it.
All right. Good to meet you, man.
All right. Cheers.
Take care.
All right. Thanks.
So here we are talking to Paul Agostino, and Paul is the man who makes sure the day from Widespread Panic is always ready to rock at any time. And Paul, man, let's walk through Dave's rig, if you don't mind.
All righty. You know, his number one here is this custom modulus. He calls it Merle.
Merle.
The, yeah, I guess from the cut of wood.
Uh-huh.
And then his number two would be this Alembic, which is mostly mahogany, but also custom built. I wish I could tell you more about it, but I can't.
Yeah, it's a great looking great looking bass. The shape is really interesting. Do these things have, obviously they've got active pickups. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about the pickups and the electronics in these instruments?
Sure. These pickups are Bartolini's. Alembic makes their own pickups. That one has an active preamp. They both have active preamps in them. The Alembic's a little bit hotter. Mm-hmm. They both have active EQ controls. One's a little, I think the modulus is a little more intuitive as far as shelving, the highs and lows. But they're both great sounding basses. He always has played six strings with this band.
Cool. And there's a multi-pin out on the Alembic as well?
Yes, there is.
And does Dave use that for anything? Or?
I mean, it powers the bass. It does have multi-channel outs, but we don't use it.
Okay. So. Okay. Cool. Both great instruments. Well, let's talk about his power amp first. Should we do that?
Sure. It's a D&B rig, and it's basically a mirror of what we use as a PA.
Okay.
So he was inspired to put this rig together by Phil Lesh's rig. He's got a little Meyer PA he uses on stage. And so, I mean, he used Ampeg 8x10s and SVT heads for decades. Mm-hmm. And we may be going back to that. Who knows? He you know,
well,
changes his mind.
What's the output on that?
Oh, boy. How many watts? Too many. That is a good question. I can tell you I'm bi-amping it.
Okay.
So I'm running all the highs through these Y10s, also made by D&B. And these are 215s for the low end. And then I got 218s that are actually controlled by my monitor engineer.
Oh,
so
nice.
There's some kick drum down in here. But so it's both a monitor and a bass rig. But yeah, the idea was to match the, you know, all the drivers and the power amp are the same we're using for our PA boxes. So the idea was any tone shaping he does on this Avalon Pre or he does on his guitar, he's gonna hear how it translates through the PA. So, people call it a bass rig. It's kind of a glorified DI.
Well, cool. You know, a lot of people use the Avalon because, well, it's got a great voice.
Yeah.
You know, what does Dave really dig about it? Or what do you like about it? You know, why don't you talk about the use of the Avalon?
Know, we just use a slight compression, and the EQ is pretty minimal on it, too. So really barely using it as an effect. There's some tube warmth from the preamp. But yeah, I love it. We've used dimmer stuff in the past for tube pre's and compressors. I was real happy with that too. Avalon's just super clean.
Cool. And why don't we talk about, let's work our way back through the rig.
Okay. All right, so basically I'm running through this octa switch to switch all the effects up here. Mm-hmm. And he likes them up under his fingertips so he can play with them during the show. And this is just switching the effects loops so that signal's not running through them all the time. And downstage, he uses his delay and the octave switch quite a lot.
Cool, and I noticed it's one of the new Wazacraft Boss delays.
Yeah, and boy, he's a pedal fanatic. We switch pedals all the time.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm surprised there's not an envelope filter in this current setup, but he's definitely relied on that a lot in the past, a lot of different delays.
Well, let's talk about what is in the current setup up here, too.
Okay, two different types of delays. Flanger, this thing is an octave generator. I've been really happy with this, the Walrus Audio Luminary.
Luminary,
yeah.
Okay.
Does two octaves up and down and an octave up and down. And this is an SVT, kind of mimics the tube distortion of what his rig used to be before we switched to the D&B rig.
Cool, that's a Catlin Bred SFT.
Yep.
And there's another Catlin Bred over too, that's the Echo Rec, which is kind of one of their classic pedals.
Yep.
We've got the Kilobyte, the low-fly delay over on the right. And we've got the depths in here for some cool, yeah, very nice.
And again, I have got drawers full of effects pedals, and he's always changing out toys.
Is he literally doing it like from show to show?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sometimes he'll get bored and he'll say, you know, surprise me. Put out a new effect that for me to play with, you know?
I like that. That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, cool. It's a very, very, two beautiful basses, very lovely crafted, running into essentially a very simple rig.
Right.
With some nice tone colors on top.
And the tone coloring is pretty minimal. It's very, it sounds a lot like a DI.
Yep.
Very high fidelity in your face.
Cool. And I see you've got a pedal power down there, a Voodoo Labs pedal power too.
Yep.
And that's what's running the pedals up top
side. Running these guys.
Great.
Yep.
Cool.
And that's pretty much it.
Volume pedal here.
Yep, the volume pedal. Really, he just uses that to tune.
Okay.
You know, he kind of uses it as a mute switch. He got used to that, I think, in the 80s, and we've always just kind of kept it there.
And what kind of tuner is he using?
This
right. Oh, it's right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Right here, yeah.
The DTR2.
Yep.
Cool. Very good.
That's it. Let's see. He was wireless for years, so I still have some remnants of the wireless rig in the rack. But now he's been wearing a wire, and again, the fidelity difference is so much better. And when you have a rig like this, you can really hear the nuance, high end, and what have you.
Well, I'm curious, you know, for our readers who don't play venues of quite this size, who use wirelesses, there's a lot of metal around here and a lot of cement. How does that impact controlling a wireless?
You know, it's really good if he stays put. You know, he's only 10 feet from the receiver.
Yeah,
we had,
but if you start
minimal problems,
out,
yeah.
Yeah.
But definitely when he would walk around, even just over to the monitor desk, you would start getting weird things happen, so. But pretty minimal, you know, it wasn't interference was the issue as much as just the loss of fidelity. You know, it goes into that little digital converter and then the wireless frequencies, and when it spits out the other end, you never know what you're going to get.
Well, cool, man. Thanks for filling us in on today's rig. We really appreciate it.
No problem, man. Thanks
for
your time.
Great to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week, we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to PremierGuitar.com/Rig Rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers, see you soon.